Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. But in a minute, we are going to read 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, a passage of scripture that is very familiar to all of us, Elisha and the widow's oil. But as I was thinking about this and preparing for this morning and trying to put all this together, trying to think about some opening story to tell just to grab your attention and stuff, and I was thinking and preparing, and often I'll think about the first congregation that God gave me to help me prepare to be a minister. There were about 30 to 40 individuals. I saw some kids grow up and lost some lives in that ministry, and God gave me about 30 to 40 horses to take care of all the time. And I would tell them about the Lord. I would sing praises to them. I watched them as they had children born and loved ones pass away. I fed them every day, and I cleaned up their messes. And I don't often talk about them, but I learned a lot from caring for this. As a pastor, you're supposed to be a shepherd, right? And they're easy to give examples about and to tell stories about because I'm not going to offend them with anything that I say, right? So I can tell all sorts of stories, and I don't often talk about them, but as I was looking around, I say, there's a couple of guys that took care of horses with me around this room, and they know what I'm talking about and some of these things because they worked beside me and saw some of these things. Horses do some crazy things. I'd feed them every morning, hook them up, and give them all the food that they could eat. You know what some of them did? Like the first second I put hay in the stall and grain in the stall, they'd take their little nose and they'd throw all their food on the floor, right in front of the box stall. Some of you farmers know exactly what I'm talking about. And then they would try as hard as they can to get that food that they had thrown out onto the floor in front of them. And they'd do crazy things to do that and get themselves into some real problems. I had this one horse that would do that. He'd throw the hay on the ground in front of him, and then he'd stand up in the stall and reach his head over, his shoulders over, and try and get that food on the ground. And before you know it, he'd get his 2 feet right over. And I'd come over to the barn and I'd hear this banging and terrible. I'm going, oh no, what am I walking into now? And I'd walk in and I'd see this horse with his 2 feet dangling over, trying and fighting everything that he had to get himself back over on the other side. Because he'd reached over to get this food that I had so neatly put into the stall for him to eat, and he was jumping over to, now I'd have to take him and call somebody to help me pick up this horse and put him back on the right side of life. And those things happen all the time. They did themselves that to themselves. They got themselves into a terrible situation all by themselves and being rascals. And I think the horse's name was Rascal. We named him. I remember Charlie and I, we found this horse and he was doing something the day he was born. We called him Rascal. That was the biggest mistake we ever made because he lived up to his name all the time. And then sometimes they'd get themselves into trouble with things that weren't their fault. I can remember an old blind horse being chased by some others, and he was running away sideways, and he fell into the watering trough and broke the watering trough and was laying there trapped, and we had to go and pick him up, and I watched the whole thing happen. You know, the other horses chased him right on and tripped right over that watering trough, fell right into it, broke it, and got himself stuck. Had to come over and pick him up. And there's lots of problems that we see and face in lives, in our life. Some of them, we get ourselves into trouble all by ourselves. And no matter what God is doing in our lives, we go out of our way to get ourselves in a mess, to get ourselves stuck, and we need God to step back in and to help rectify the situation. Sometimes the trials and struggles of this world we get into are no fault of our own. But God allows certain situations to happen in our lives so that He can grow us. He can try us. He can refine us in the fire. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, we find a woman who ends up in a real terrible situation. And she needs the man of God to come into her life and to help her and to see God's power at work to take care of a problem that she has gotten into by no fault of her own. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and your son, you and your sons live on the rest.'" So here, as we look at this passage of scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4, I call this, God provides, the debt is paid. And so as we first look at this, I want to look at the problems that this widow found herself in. The first thing that I see here is that she knew loss. Her husband had died. Her partner in life, the man that she relied on, that was the man that led her in a relationship and helped her fear the Lord. You see that as she talks about her husband, she gives him praise and says, "And you know that your servant feared the Lord." She knew what it meant to have loss in her life. I'm sure as she comes to Elisha, she is brokenhearted that her husband has died. This was not a problem that she got into because of poor choices in it. This is something that happens to people. And this was a problem that she needed God to see, and she needed God to rectify and to make a difference in her life. The prophet had died. The widow was penniless, and she was brokenhearted. The best days of her life appeared to be behind her. She probably felt hopeless, miserable, alone. Many of us can relate, and as we look through Scripture, we can see that God cares about the people who know loss. And we see Him in a real way, getting involved in the lives of people who know loss. As I look and as I see, we know that God is a God who sees. One of the things that I have enjoyed sitting in church and listening and learning is those names of God. So that when I face a problem in life, and I think about the situations that I go through, and I need to lean on the Lord, when I need God to go before me and fight a battle that I know that I'm not strong enough to win, I'm so glad that I have a God who is my banner, who goes before me, who fights for me. I know that as I need peace, I know that God is a God of peace. I know that He is a God Almighty, that He is a God who sees, He is a God who hears, He is a God who heals. And as I learn these things about God, I can rely on Him during certain situations in life. And so as I look at this widow who is going through this situation, and she knows loss. She knows heartache. And she sees that her world seems to be crumbling down around her. I would say that God was a God who saw her problems. God is a God who sees. Up there I wrote El Roy, and probably nobody really cares about the Hebrew, but I like looking at that stuff, and so I put it up there for you to look at this morning. But as we see through the Bible, we often see this phrase, El Roy, the God who sees. I'd like us to turn over in our Bible and see a passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 16, where we see that in the midst of problems, in the midst of trials, and knowing loss, and problems, and affliction, God is a God who sees, and He is a God who cares. Let's read this morning Genesis chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. It says there, "Then Sarai said to Abram, 'My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you.' So Abram said to Sarai, 'Indeed, your maid is in your hands. Do to her as you please.' And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?' She said, 'I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai.' The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand.' Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.' Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees.' For she said, 'Have I also here seen him who sees me?' Therefore the well was called Be'er Lahai-Roi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram." And as we read that passage, we see Hagar here. She is in this terrible strait. As we look at her life and we look at where she's come from, the people that helped put her in this terrible position in her life, where she knew loss and she felt alone and abandoned, we call those people the patriarchs. The fathers of our faith. Abraham, who Romans talks about, was part of this ordeal that left Hagar alone in the wilderness, abandoned and knowing loss. It's a shame, but if we were to talk about our faith, and if our faith were not dependent upon Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who has the power to change lives, but on the people that were around us, we'd find ourselves let down. And only let your faith and your relationship with God be upon another person. Now you can learn a lot from other people. And we're to disciple each other and to lift people up and as a body of Christ to be responsible. But there are times where the person who might cause the most damage to a Christian is another Christian. And maybe as you're sitting here today, you know what I'm talking about. You feel hurt and pain because someone has wounded you, has done something to break your heart, or you're heartbroken because of the loss of another one. And you know what it means to feel alone, to feel betrayed, to feel like no one cares. But in the midst of when you know loss and you know abandonment, we know that we have a God Almighty who sees our problems. And He is ready and prepared to work and act in your life. So I encourage you today, if you're looking in your life and you're like, I feel alone. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what is going to happen. People have hurt me. Situations. Loss is what I know and is what I'm feeling today. Please know and hold on to and hang on to stories in the Bible where we see a God who sees and He knows your circumstances. Let's turn over in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Maybe you're here today and you know pain, you know loss, and you can relate with this widow who has lost her husband. As you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we read these words. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. God knows the circumstances that we are going through. If we are like this woman in this story, and we've lost maybe our spouse, maybe the person that we depended upon in life, we feel betrayed, like people have backstabbed us, and we feel all alone. We feel like maybe no one can understand the situation that we find ourselves in today. We know this, that God, the Son of God, who sat on the throne of heaven, the creator of this universe, who ruled and reigned over it all, decided to step down off of His throne to become poor, weak, lowly, so He could understand where we are. Not only does He see our problems, He understands our circumstances. And the purpose of that was so He could take us when we are in the midst of those difficult situations, and through His poverty, we might become rich. Rich with the grace that He bestows on us, that He gives to us each day, rich with the promise and the hope of a home in heaven and the ability to know what real healing is like. Jesus Christ is acquainted with our griefs, with our sorrows. He knows exactly what you, what I are going through today. He has been there, He has done it, He has lived it, and He has been victorious over it. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Isaiah chapter 53. I used that this week a couple of times, probably because I was thinking about that for this morning. But let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 53, and let's read verses 3 to 6, and we see a God who knows our problems, is acquainted with our grief. And when we are experiencing loss, He is there to see us, to understand where we are going, and to lead us to victory on the other side. Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 3 says, He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus Christ was destined to know what it meant to suffer. He came to this world and he took the worst that the devil, the world, could send at him. He faced it head on and he was victorious over that. So one day, when you were facing problems, and you felt abandoned, alone, like you were stuck in sin, and it was something that you could not get out of, Jesus Christ could say, I know what you've been through. I know what it's like to experience grief, to feel alone. I see your problems. I understand, and I am here to help, and I am here to heal. If that's you today, and you're sitting here, and you're like this woman, and you know loss, and you're wondering how you can take another step, another day, know in your heart of your hearts that God is acquainted with your grief and he sees your problems and he is ready and prepared to give you grace in the time of need. We let him do that today. Let's turn over back in our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings again in chapter 4. Not only did this woman know loss, and she needed God to see where she was at. She needed a God that was ready and prepared to help her face her circumstances. Not only did she need a God who was acquainted with her problems and was able to help her through her time of grief, she also had a debt. And maybe today you have a debt that you cannot pay. Her debt was financial. The creditors were coming to take her sons. She had a debt that she didn't know how to pay. And many of us today, we have debts. Well, there's financial debt like this woman had, and maybe that's where you're at today, and you feel that the load is just too big and you can't bear it. You have no idea how you can bring yourself out of this debt. But maybe your debt is something else. Maybe it's not just financial. Maybe it's a debt of sin. And you have been just living in sin, and the debt just keeps pouring on and pounding on and compounding and compounding. Well, a financial debt's a terrible thing. Isn't it crazy how the debts that we owe someone else, the interest rate is so much higher than the interest you can get on some savings that you have. And it can just snowball out of control before you're in over your head and there's no way to go, like this woman was experiencing. But the same thing happens for sin. You know, I think it's one of the verses that we need to hide in our heart to remember when we are tempted to sin is, be sure your sins will find you out. As we begin to allow sin to creep into our life, we become slaves and indebted to it. And the more we sin, the more it gains control. And it begins to collect interest, because the problems begin to pour on. And the weight of that becomes even more difficult to get out of than a financial debt. We begin to say harsh words to our spouse. And the next thing you know, we keep saying these things and keep saying things, and the hurt grows. And those words are not forgotten. And the debt that we owe becomes greater. Addiction to sin, to lies, to the pain that we cause, our thought life. It begins to snowball out of control, and the debt grows and grows. And before you know it, our debt is so big, and we want to do the right thing, and we find ourselves doing the wrong thing. Paul talks about it, that is, he says, the good that I would do, I don't do. And those things that I hate to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. And the debt just compiles and compiles and compiles. And I don't know what kind of debt you have been building up and has been increasing and growing in your life. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's burden, heartache, abuse. But you feel like you're sinking in this debt and you can never get out. The Bible tells us that debt is a form of slavery. And I know that this passage is talking about financial debt in Proverbs chapter 22, but I think that this could be applied to any credit that we owe, because we've allowed these things to bury us. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. As we face financial indebtedness, spiritual indebtedness, we become slaves. And as slaves, we find ourselves in a world of misery. Because slavery is a form of misery. We become indebted and we don't even know why. I talked about a horse at the beginning of today. A horse that would throw his hay out of the manger, stand up into the box stall, get himself over on the other end, trying to get the hay off of the other side. You know what's the thing about horses? They are the most predictable animal on the planet. They are so predictable. Once they start doing it, they do it every single time. And they become addicted to it. They become a slave to what they do. And I know there's a bunch of guys in the room that worked with me with the horses. And we had this one horse named Scruffy. And they all remember Scruffy. And Scruffy, every time he'd come back from a trail ride, you know what that horse did? He'd take his bridle off. He'd just reach his head down and take it right off. He did it every single time. He was a slave to it, addicted to it. And I see Harry laughing and RJ laughing, Brad back there, because every single one of them had to put a bridle back on Scruffy about 7 times a day. Right, Brad? Right? They became addicted to it. They just did the same thing over and over again. Had horses that would get themselves stuck. One of them that would get himself over on the other side of the mangers and stuck and couldn't get out. And he'd go back there, and I don't even know why he'd do it. But anytime he didn't latch the gate, he'd end up back there. Rascal or Zipper, two of them that did it. And they did it over and over and over again. They'd get themselves stuck in this mess. You'd get them out, and you think, they're never going to do that again. Next day, you'd come back. If you didn't latch the gate, they'd be right back in there. I'm like, what dumb animals. They're putting their lives on the line. How are they ever going to get out if a person didn't get them out? They'd be in there until they're dead. I said, why are they going back there? Next day, they'd open the door and get back in there again. And again, and again. I got so sick of it. Tired of it. Every time one of these boys would leave the gate open, I'd be in that mess. Again, and again, and again. I got tired of it. Yelled at all of them a few times. But yelled at myself more, though. I should say that. But when we think about slavery, I talked about some of these problems the credits that we owe. Slavery. Sin. You become a slave to it. How many of us, how many people are there that like wake up and they're like, you know what? I absolutely want to be a liar. I can't wait. You know, that's not something that somebody wakes up and just wants to do over and over and over again. Or do you think somebody says, I absolutely want to be, totally want to ruin my family, ruin my life, and just destroy everything with this addiction? No, nobody wakes up and says that. But the debt just piles on, piles on, piles on. And before you know it, we become a slave to these things, a slave to these problems. And it's God who has the ability to set us free. I was thinking about that on Friday as I sent out my prayer focus update. I read Romans chapter 10 that day, and I sent out Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And I sent that out, and I prayed about it, and I said, oh, this is what I'll send out today in the prayer focus update. I got to the concert on Friday night, and I don't know, you probably didn't notice it, but they started sharing the gospel. And they said, and right as they were singing the song, Chainbreaker, and setting you free from your slave, from your sins, and free from addiction, free from the sin that has you indebted. They read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13. I went up to them afterwards. I said, that's just what the same thing I just sent out to the people in the prayer focus update. I talked to them, and I said, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about on Sunday. It's like the same exact thing that you're talking about tonight. So only God does those types of things. Only God works in those ways. And maybe today you find yourself a slave to some sin. I want to tell you, God cares about the person who is enslaved, indebted, and finds that they feel like they have this thing in their life and they cannot escape it. God cares, and He knows, and He wants to and has the ability and the power to save. Let's look in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, and let's read verses 7 and 8. In Exodus 3, 7 and 8, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. I love this passage of scripture, and I know that this is talking about people who were actual physical slaves, and I'm talking to a group of people today who are not actually a slave. You do not have a taskmaster outside the door who is going to whip you to go to work tomorrow, but the taskmaster of sin whips you to keep on sinning and makes you a slave to sin is a whole lot worse. When I think about these people after they got back, after they got out of Egypt, what's the first thing that these people wanted to do when troubles and trials began to come? They wanted to run right back to slavery. So I laugh at that horse who would get himself stuck every 5 days and I'd have to push him out of being stuck over and over and over again. But people do the same exact thing with sin. They go right, running right back to it. When times are hard, they keep running back and they become a slave and they become indebted to it. But if you're here this morning, you know loss, and that loss has caused you to do things that are wrong, and you begin to pile on a spiritual debt into your life, and that debt seems out of control, and now you realize that you are a slave to it, and it has control and power over you, know that God sees your turmoil. He sees your distress. He sees your overwhelming debt, and He has the ability to deliver you and to give you grace and mercy in your time of need. And if you feel you are drowning this morning, cry out to the God who sees where you're at and has the ability to give you grace and mercy in your time of need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you that as we had an insurmountable debt, a debt that we became enslaved to, that Lord, you came because you saw us in our time of need. You came to give us grace and mercy, and to abundantly pardon us, to rescue us, to set us free. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today who feels in debt to sin, knows the pain of loss, is in a situation where they feel buried under the weight of the sin that is destroying them, and they want victory over today, that they will see you as the God who sees their affliction, sees their problems, and is ready and prepared to set them free. Let your name be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.